action. Now, back to more of the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw along with Chris Parker here in our Atlanta studios, Midtown Atlanta studios, into our 11 o'clock hour, our final hour of our show. So glad you've been with us tonight, and we've touched so many bases on so many things here tonight. We got some games that are going final, and we got someone who really keeps an eye on things and wanted to get with her last week. We weren't able to connect with her. I think we have her this week, Kelly Price. Fox 5 Hi-Fi Sports, and tonight she was over at North Oak County. They're taking on Clark Central. Kelly, welcome to the Scoreboard Show. Talk about your game tonight.
Hey, guys. How are you? Yeah, I wish I could have connected with you guys last week, but we had a bunch of lightning delays last week at Bremen, where I was at Bowden last week. So this week, however, we had rain from start to finish in this one. I heard that there was no rain in the metro area, further in, but we had rain start to finish here, so kind of bummed about that. But big win for North Oconee. They roll. Clark Central couldn't really get a lot going offensively. They obviously scored a little bit in the second half, but the biggest thing here was obviously North Oconee rolling in this one tonight, 36-13. They're 3-0, their home opener. They're really excited about that. And four touchdowns from their wide receiver who's going to Georgia, Landon Roldan. So big game for him.
I'm sure big game for him. I'm sure a lot of people watching him, if he's bound for Georgia, a Georgia recruit, that would be really, really big. Sound like he had a pretty impressive showing for everybody tonight.
Oh, for sure. And, I talked to him after the game, but he was very like, the team, we had such a great effort. All my teammates did such a good job. But, I mean, when you have four touchdowns, that's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah. It's easy to be humble when you score four touchdowns. Kelly,
right.
I think the question I should ask is where are you going next week? Because people want to know, because the weather, they might need to plan their weather around this.
Yeah, right. They're going to have to bring their umbrellas wherever we go this season, apparently. We're actually going to Carrollton next week. They're taking on Gainesville. So that should be a big one.
That should be a big one. That's a fantastic matchup. What's special this year? What's new this year? Fox 5, the games you've been to so far. What's unique about this year so far?
Yeah, so this is week two of our, big, normal Five coverage the first couple weeks of the season with the preseason with Falcons and stuff. We didn't have as much Friday night coverage going on, but now we're in week two of what we're doing here. And like I said, Bremen, Bowden last week, that was obviously a big rivalry game, but big win for Bowden in that one. But lightning delay in that one, rain tonight. Hopefully we'll have clear weather next week for Carrollton. I'm excited to see Juju Lewis next week. I haven't seen him in a couple years, I think. I can't remember the last time I saw him play, but that should be a good one. Obviously, we're always at 11 o'clock on Fox 5 and the Fox Local app, which will be even more important going forward because we have college football on Fox on Friday nights going forward. So we'll be on the app, Fox Local app that people could download, which you can get on your smart TVs and whatnot, and obviously streaming online. Because we will have college football on Fox 5.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that,
yeah,
Sam.
Hey. On Friday night, man. But whatever you got to do, keep the hand dry, okay?
Keep the hand dry.
Keep the hand dry. Where are
we
going out there?
We gotta stay in your face somewhere.
Gotta get the
Fox Local app.
All right, Kelly. We appreciate you so much. Safe travels from there. We look to catch you with you hopefully next week from down in Carrollton. That sounds like it's gonna be a great ball game. But thanks a lot for tonight.
Thanks, Kelly.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you guys.
All right, that's Kelly Price, and she is social. You can always find her at the Kelly Price, and she's there doing the games. She inherited Bill Hartman's old gig.
Man, what? Yeah, Bill, what a legend to follow.
Right, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, he goes out on Friday.
Bill
on,
was there forever. How long?
On Friday night. Oh my goodness.
I mean, a long time.
Long time, right? On Friday nights, going out to those games.
Going out to the game. You always knew you had a game. You know, Coach O'Sullivan said he knew it was. He knew he did well tonight. When Sam Crenshaw called.
No, he said both of us. He was saying that.
But I knew we always had a good football team.
Yep.
If Bill Hartman
came out, you know.
If Bill Hartman came out, we had a football team, you know. And now Kelly has that, so that's cool. So you see Kelly at your school with the hand, you're having a nice season.
You're having a great season. You need to be there. Tell you what's having a great season. Out of Collins Hill. And they're 4-0, man. They're rolling.
Rolling.
Coach Drew Swick. He's having a fantastic season, and he joins us now. Coach Swick, welcome to the Scoreboard Show with Sam and Chris. Congratulations on that win tonight.
Thank you so much. Thank y'all for having us.
Coach Swick, congratulations, man. 4-0, fantastic start to the season. What was the key to success tonight against Parkview?
We had a lot of adversity that we had to overcome, but we got tons of leadership on this team, offense, defense, and special teams, all three phases of the game. And, you know, we came through and you know, at the end of the day, we ended up scoring, you know, a bunch of points in the second half and kind of stumbled in the first. But, you know, defense stepped up big time. My coordinators, my coaches, I couldn't be more happy for them, my players, and the Collins Hill community.
Fantastic. What a season. When you look at this schedule that you laid out there, and Chris, I know you look at the first three, four games here, and you look at this like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, if you told me I'm playing Grayson, Woodward, Cedar Grove, and Parkview, you know, we're going to be 4-0. I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm probably not coaching that team. Somebody that's a better coach than me is. So, yeah, tough schedule. Who made this schedule?
Yeah, who made this schedule, Coach?
Well, the players, we asked the players who they want to play, and they picked Grayson. So, we, you know, we scheduled Grayson. So, you got to listen to your players. You got to believe in them. And, you know, they've been balling all year. And, I couldn't be more proud of them.
Talk about what the start that does. To get a win like that to open the season, what that does for your team. Because you followed up very well with Woodward Academy and then Cedar Grove.
Yeah, not a lot of people had us, you know, doing this, obviously. You know, a lot of people counted us out. But, you know, within our program and our field house, and, you know, we all believed and, you know, just keep grinding, trying to go 1-0 each week. And, you know, that's our motto right now. We want to become the standard, and that's kind of what we're doing. So, our seniors are pushing the younger classmen, and they're just balling out right now. I'm super proud.
Coach, if I remember right, you were an assistant coach on a team that won a state championship a few years ago. You get the head job, you know, trying to make the program your own. Talk a little bit about that transition and really what you're seeing now in the program from what you saw as an assistant coach on a state championship caliber team.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's easy when you have great coaches around you. And, you know, my defensive staff, we've been together for a very long time. You know, in 2021, we had adversity as well. And, you know, we've been together so long, we can make adjustments on the fly. And our halftime adjustments have been unbelievable. You know, you got Coach Beck, you know, defense coordinator, and all my assistant coaches on defense side. Then offensive side, you got Coach Boo, you know, Gerald Boo Mitchell, and Jonathan Beverly, and the assistant coaches. And it's just one big family. And then when you have a family atmosphere like that, it trickles down to your players and all the younger kids. And, you know, again, it's nothing that we didn't think we could do. But a lot of people are catching on now, and we've kind of, you know, Collins Hill's on the map. So we're going to get everybody's best game going forward.
Spending time with Coach Drew Swick from Collins Hill High School. They're 4-0. They got to win over Parkview tonight. But, Coach, you got a lot of work you still have to do going forward with the schedule that you have. We got some people on there. Of course, you got Central next, and you got Mountain View, where you got Buford and Mill Creek out there. What do you want to see from your team each week going forward? Now, they've shown you quite a bit here the first 4 weeks, but what do you want to see going forward?
We talk about never overlooking an opponent. You know, we got a bye week coming up at the perfect time right now to get some guys back who, you know, have been injured, some big-time players that haven't played in the first four games, and that's only going to make us better as well. You know, and then we got to fix the small things. The small things matter, and they can lose you ball games. And, you know, going in this bye week, that's what we're going to do. We're going to fix our tackling and, you know, some of the alignment issues that we had tonight. And, you know, just come back in, and we play Central Gwinnett. You know, we're going to prepare for them like we would for Grayson, Woodward Academy, Cedar Grove, whoever it is, and never overlook an opponent. The goal is just to go 1-0.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, Coach, we appreciate you spending some time with you. You guys on the bus right now?
Yes, sir. Hey, y'all want to say hey? Say hey.
Yeah. I was gonna say that bus is mighty quiet.
They expected to win.
Be quiet.
Tell them they're on their phones, Coach. That's how they roll now. They don't sit
there. Yes, sir.
Hey, congratulations. You guys enjoy it, Coach. It's always exciting to win. Don't take them for granted. Enjoy every one of them. Get back to work next week. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Go Eagles.
All right, that is Coach Drew Swinken. You know, hey, that's a rough schedule.
Did Coach say that they got some kids that haven't played all year that were good? He got some more. I mean, they 4-0 and they got some guys that hadn't played yet. Some of these teams better watch out.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, if they're that good and they got some that haven't played yet, some people better watch out.
Can this team fly below the radar? And you talk about when you talk about Gwinnett County and the teams that you expect to see the things from, and you know, you got Grayson over there. Mm-hmm. Although they beat Grayson, people, you know, Grayson's there. You know, you got Mill Creek. It's Mill Creek. North Gwinnett showed mm-hmm. us a little something last week. Said, hold on, don't forget about us. And now this group, and don't forget about Norcross. Mm-hmm. They're winning that over Walton.
I don't know if they can fly under the radar much longer because people are seeing these wins on who they're beating. But yeah, they have in the last two. Of course, 3 years ago they won a state championship.
Well, yeah.
But in the years since, they have moved more under that radar. I think they're getting a little over it now.
Yeah,
I think, and they're going to play Buford and Mill Creek in region games coming up. So there's their chance to even really measure against the best, what's been the best the last couple of years in Gwinnett County.
Absolutely. That's what's coming up, and great to spend some time with him talking about his team and what they've been able to do this season. All right, got any more final scores? It has gone final. North Hall over East Hall, 35-16. North Hall's a winner in that one. Harris County has beaten Daugherty 27-6. I wonder if they're going to eat at your favorite place.
Yeah, the Hunter's Pub. Now, they might. Hunter's Pub don't have room for the whole football team, Sam. It's a tight spot. They
really?
Got room for me and you, though. Maybe
okay.
me,
okay.
you, and Dom. We can all three go.
We can go there, right?
Yeah. But Hillgrove winner tonight, 3-0 Hillgrove over Marietta, 24-21. Great win for Hillgrove. Congratulations to them. Moved to 3-0 in the year. Fellowship Christian wins tonight. 38-13 over Osborne.
Okay, they get the big win. That's the final score in their favor. We got Jonesboro's a winner. They beat Banneker 34-12 final in that one. Kennesaw Mountain is a winner. They beat Johns Creek 27-24. That's the final in that one. River Ridge is a winner over Woodstock, and Woodstock had gotten off to a great start. River Ridge beats them 44-14 final.
That's a close. That's one in proximity games. They're right down the road from each other. North Gwinnett beat Mill Creek final 37-34. North Gwinnett over Mill Creek.
Mill Creek led throughout this game.
Mill Creek with the lead most of the game. North Gwinnett comes back, gets the win at the end 37-34. I think you'll see both of those teams for a long time. Somebody had to lose.
Yeah.
Two very good football teams. But tonight, congratulations to North Gwinnett. Buford. Maybe for Buford flying under the radar?
No.
I mean, you just hadn't heard as much about
allowed.
Them, right?
They're not allowed.
But
they can't do it. No.
52-17 winners over Oswald. So if they were flying under the radar, I guess they're not anymore.
Yeah,
no. Just reminding folks.
They don't allow Buford.
They're here too.
Yeah, they're not allowed to do that.
Cambridge beat Denmark 35-34. I had some people texting me about that game. Cambridge beat Denmark 35-34, right? Game's tied in overtime. Cambridge goes for two, gets it for the win.
Wow.
So Cambridge 4-0. Big win for Cambridge and Coach Jones. His staff, big win, 35-34 over Denmark. Congrats, Coach. Congrats, team. Awesome job. Kale over Wheeler tonight, 31-13. Miller Grove over Heritage in Conyers, 7-0.
Okay.
One touchdown to none. That's all it was. And in the New Rock game.
In the New Rock game.
I know people have been sitting around anticipating this.
Okay, absolutely.
In the New Rock game, which I learned today what New Rock means. It means Newton County plays Rockdale County. Just for those people that weren't listening last time. Alcovey, 12. Rockdale County, 9. Rockdale County suffering their first loss of the season. Alcovey with their first win of the season.
Yeah.
Congrats to Alcovey.
Yep. It was big. I mean, and Coach Bonner out of Rockdale said, don't let that record fool you. Don't let the record.
They let it fool them, Sam. They didn't listen.
Yeah. That was the story tonight. All right, Jeff Sintel's ready to check in with us. He's going to come in the next segment. We're going to check with him. He was at the Douglas County Langston Hughes game tonight.
Of course he was.
Okay.
There's some players there. There's
some players there. So we're going to check in with him. That is coming up next. When you stay with us on this Friday night, it's the Scoreboard Show. High School Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com.
if your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the Games High School's Football Scoreboard Show.
Friday night, Under the Lights. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. It is the high school scoreboard show on this Friday night. Most of the games have gone final now, but one of the marquee matchups tonight, my goodness, was out in Douglasville. Douglas County taking on Langston Hughes, and Jeff Sintel of Dog Nation was there. And for the first time this season, we're going to get to hear from Chris. You ready to hear from Jeff?
I can't wait to hear from Jeff.
I know. You know, we watched the game, and we saw all these people standing around the field, you say, who are not normally in those places, because there probably was some people representing some
They're
folks.
In an unauthorized area. That means they're special. So, you know how when we talked to Coach O'Sullivan, he said he knew it was a good night when Sam and I called, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know there was some players at the game when Jeff Sintel was there.
I know that's right.
You know there were some players at the game.
Yep. And he joins us now. Jeff, welcome to the show. And my goodness, you were thick with four stars and five stars out there tonight. Thoughts about that game?
Oh, man, it was like basically ditch, gully washer deep full of players, man. You look around, you could probably fall in one direction or the other and find you a good offensive lineman, a good running back, a wide receiver. First of all, it's great to be back on with you. Now it kind of really feels like high school football season again, and the barns were burning, man. It was really weird. Like, my first real big takeaway of this game, Douglas, the 6A school, number 3 in the state, beats Langston Hughes 21-14. They had to come back to do so, and I tell you what, next week Douglas County gets another amazing opponent in Buford, and Buford's going to look at this tape, and they're going to go, what in the world are they doing running the ball with all these four-star and top 50 receivers? But that's what they did. It was basically a night, fellas, where the raindrops teased us, but they never soaked us. And the teams just basically ran the ball in a lot of short-yarded situation. And Douglas, fellas, even though they're going to come out of this one with a win, they're pretty banged up. They're all everything five-star defensive lineman Jordan Carter. He had an ice sling around his shoulder. I don't know if he'll be available for next week against Buford. Certainly didn't look like it. And then their ginormous sophomore offensive tackle, Sam Appel, all 6'9 and 330 already. Mm. Looks like he came away from the game with a pretty serious leg injury as well.
Oh, man. See that. It was a win with a cost. This game was so low scoring in the first half. My goodness, were you expecting this to be the defensive struggle that it was early?
I wasn't. I expected Langston to run the ball because they've ran the ball on everybody. You knew there might be some struggles there a little bit with Langston trying to throw the ball, but one thing they can do is they can run. Carson Allday Baker is a tremendous back. He's a junior in the 2026 class. Just about everybody in the country has offered him. He's 10-6 in the 100 meters. He's about 6'1". He's about 200. Top 20 overall running back in the class. And he was galloping. He was looking really good, guys. I'm sure you saw it on TV.
Yeah.
But the thing that really befuddled me is there were so many snaps where there's Aaron Gregory in red zone, and he is in man coverage. And he's the number 4 wide receiver in the country in the class of 2026. And then Devin Carter on the same huddle is the number 3 receiver in the country. And the game plan for Douglas, clear, was they were just going to run the ball They were going to protect every possession, and they were going to try to get those points when they were down there.
Well, they'll time will have to come. Maybe they're baiting them for next week. We'll have to see. But, yes,
I mean,
I would have thrown him the ball, Jeff. I say, because I love Johnny White. He's my friend. I would have thrown him the ball and watched him. But did you hear Jeff say they ran at 110.6? That's fast, Sam.
Yeah, it is.
I can't. You think I can run a 40 in 10.6, Jeff?
I think you can, man, especially when you got something on the line. Maybe people watching, pretty girls watching you,
yeah,
do that.
A 40. A 40 now. A 40. I'm saying I can run a 40 in 10.6. He can run 100 in 10.6. And I'm only saying I may can.
He's dialing that back, boy. He's dialing it back. My goodness, folks. We're spending time with Jeff Sintel for Dog Nation. He is social. You can always find him at Jeff Sintel. At Jeff Sintel. Who specifically were you out to see tonight? You just in general, or who were you specifically there to really take a closer look at?
Well, fellas, they do have a dog on the team at Langston Hughes. That's interior offensive lineman Donnie Glover, Dontrell Glover, and he's a Georgia commitment in the 2025 class. And neat little story about him. This is a Donnie Glover in a nutshell. He played both ways. He was good enough to start at Langston Hughes as a freshman when he was only bench pressing about 125, 130 pounds at tackle. And Langston Hughes a couple years ago, 2021, still had a really good football team. That was a team that went deep in the state playoffs. And again, starting when he's only bench pressing about 130, fellas, now he's bench pressing about 500 pounds. He's in grown man territory. And he's a guy that I think will excel when he gets to Georgia. Basically can lift every weight they got in the weight room at Langston Hughes. And, you know, Coach, I do agree with you there, Chris, about Johnny White, one of the class most respected coaches in the state. I think he does a lot of things the right way. And, you know, hey, you got the win against the top five team. These two teams are going to be playing well into November. But, like I said earlier, Coach Appling at Buford, they're going to be crunching that film, yeah, and they're going to go, look at all this man coverage, and they ain't throwing it yet at us. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, they're going to give them the single coverage. You're baiting them into it. I'm telling you. They're just going to keep Penguins in single coverage. They've got great receivers. I mean, it is a challenge. You know what's interesting, Jeff? It's challenging to have players all over the field. I know that seems like it's not, but it's almost more challenging to spread the football out in high school than it is if you have this really dynamic one player. You move them around, you get them the football, you be creative. If you have great receivers on both sides, if you're able to run the ball, if you got big offensive linemen, you know, you really kind of take what they give you, or you end up, and it does become a little more challenging. Jeff, I got a question. What's kind of the theme you see in early part of the year and in the recruiting world, in your world? Last year it felt like, you know, you were at Buford a lot. You know, you're following that. What's this year like so far?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and it's just fresh in my mind with seeing the Sam Appel kid. I don't know. I've been all over, probably seen 50 high schools practice over the last couple months, been to a lot of games. Sam and Chris, it's really a bigger, faster, stronger game. And I mean that bigs. I mean, bigs are now huge. You know, Georgia's got the 6'11" freshman left tackle. Mm-hmm. We saw Sam Appel tonight, 6'9". He's a sophomore. I really see a lot of coaches say, hey, you're going to remember this name. You're going to come back in a couple years. And they're showing these 6'7", 6'8", freshman offensive tackles, maybe rising ninth grade offensive tackles.
Wow.
Like the kids,
what are they
are
feeding these people?
Bigger,
wow.
Bigger and bigger. It's almost to the point now where, like, 2 years ago, you know, your jaw hits the floor, and now you just sit there and go shake your head, nod your head like you're at a meme on the internet or something like that. But, I mean, I tell you another thing. You know, I got to make sure I cover this the right way. It's not only Devin Carter, number three receiver in 2026, and it's not only Aaron Gregory, number four receiver in 2026. You've also got James Johnson, who I think is the best overall football player on the Douglas team, who's committed to USC, who's a senior. And you've got three. I was talking to some other reporters. I was like, we're watching one high school team with three of probably the top 25 wide receivers in the country in any class. And they're just spreading them out, and they're keeping that light box, and they're running the ball, and they're winning games.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. I would have loved to known how that felt. Hey, I tell you, I'm watching the Bulldogs Saturday, Sam, and about the third or fourth play of the game, KJ Bolden downhill makes a tackle. I'm like, Centel told me about that guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it is neat to hear how quick the guys go from this kind of talk to be
the
out
other
there,
talk,
you know,
right?
And, and how quick you see in guys play. And I think, don't you think, Jeff, that maybe part of that is because of the development and the size and the speed, these guys are able to contribute really early, more than it feels like they used to. I know the transfer portal also dilutes it and makes them have to play earlier, but is there something to that?
I think so. I think it's especially the year-round thing in Georgia where, listen, they're practicing ball at least or thinking ball 10 months, 11 months out of the year. Let's be serious. And then it's the schemes that they run. And I think you can do that at the skill positions. Like in the SEC trenches, it's a grown man league. You got to be, you got to have about a year and a half of weight room and clean eating to really play and really make a difference. But for the skill guys like a KJ Bolden, guys, to me, KJ Bolden's a great player. He's going to play a lot. He had 49 snaps against Clemson, but he still looks like he needs to eat about 12 tacos before the game to really fit into that jersey. And, you know, he's still an effective player. And I think, you know, the biggest boys in Georgia, when you got that elite thing, like Georgia gets negatively recruited about, everybody says you won't go play there, especially not right away. Come play here for us because that's how you develop. You play. Well, Kirby tried it out, 13 true freshmen against number 14 Clemson, and then another five redshirt freshmen against the Tigers. And a lot of those guys, including that 6'11" left tackle, got some time. And what I heard all week, gentlemen, was guys like Tyler Atkinson saying, you know, all these schools tell me that you can't play at Georgia, but what they say and what I see are two totally different things.
Yeah, yeah, that's something. That's pretty amazing. Totally amazing. Well, Jeff, we appreciate you, as always, spending some time for the first time this season. You know, fantastic. Yep. You have an idea where you're going next week?
Yeah, I'm going to go see Elijah Griffin. It's Class 1A ball, but the number one defensive tackle in the country. Still not committed anywhere yet, even though he's leaning towards the Dogs. He's going to play Fellowship Christian in Roswell. You know, Elijah plays in Savannah, so that's a long trip. So anytime you can get that type of player in the ATL, I'm going to go see that guy. And you know what's funny, guys? And people might want to, they'll probably spit out whatever they're drinking tonight when I say this, but there's an argument there that he might not even be the best college prospect on his own team.
Whoa.
Because LaDainian Guyton, class of 2027, guys, he's 15 years old. He's about 6'3 and a half. He's about 225, 230. And he's the number one or number two player in the country for 2027. And, I mean, this guy is everything. He's just a sophomore, and he already looks the part. And you got two five-stars on the Savannah Christian defensive line. And you want to talk about creating havoc? That's what those Red Raiders and Savannah Christian do every snap.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Coach Woodard, I was in Savannah this spring. I did a thing with their coaches. Awesome experience. Great guys. Yeah, this guy's the real deal. And I think you told us about him last year. Did you see him at Marist or somewhere? I remembered talking about him last year when he was – or maybe even 2 years ago when he was up here. Yeah, great player, Elijah Griffin.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? We hope to get a chance to catch up with you then. We appreciate you taking some time to check in with us tonight. As always, safe travels, and you're going to be over in Athens tomorrow, right?
Yeah, man. I guess the success tomorrow, gentlemen, is Georgia plays about three or four quarterbacks. They get about three running backs, 50 or 60 yards rushing. They get about three receivers, about 80 yards receiving, and they come out of it healthy, and I think everybody will be happy.
That's it. That's it. More people get to play. That's the big thing that happens tomorrow. Thanks so much for the time, man. Always great catching up with you. Safe travels. We hope to catch up with you next week.
Thanks, man. Look forward to it. See you guys.
All right. That is Jeff Centel, and my goodness, the way he's describing these people. It is massive, mammoth.
I'm just wondering where all these people were when I was coaching football. They wasn't anywhere at any of my practices, Dom. I'm just telling you. Had a lot of guys that looked like me and you and Sam out there. You know, had some regular body types. You know what I mean?
This is just incredible and phenomenal, you know. And It seemed like there's so many of them. We got, you know, such a great quantity of them playing at our schools.
They
here
identify early. I mean, people identify the kids early, and it's just there is a lot of development of players. We got a lot of people putting a lot of stock into high school football. There's great coverage. You know, things people like Jeff, people like Kelly, mm-hmm. Hopefully shows like ours, you know, that just shine lights and make it a big deal. And you do see people just continue to develop to raise the bar for those things. And,
yeah. You
know, at one point somebody ran a 4-minute mile, and that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of people ran 4-minute miles. Not even a big deal anymore, because once somebody's done it, you keep raising the bar. And I think you're seeing that with development. You're seeing it with training and all those things, Jeff.
Yeah. My goodness. And the recruits descend on our state to try to lure them to their campuses. That's what happens here at Georgia. All right, one more segment to go. We're going to wrap up some games. Some more games have gone all final. We're going to do that for you and also give you some information about how you can show support for the students and the faculty and everyone there at Appalachia in that high school, in their community. And that's coming up when you stay with us for this final segment of the Scoreboard Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Keeping it local.
This is the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. High School Scoreboard Show on this Friday night. So glad you've been with us. You've been with us from the very beginning. We was running down scores, and as we talked to some people, they had nice weather. We talked with Kelly Price. She got rained on all night up in the
North. 2 weeks in a row for Kelly.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, where's she going next week? Carrollton?
I don't know.
Listen, she says she's going to Carrollton, right?
You're right.
Okay, everybody, the people in Carrollton better get right. Go get some ponchos.
Because if she shows up, it's kind of like Jim Cantore. You see him come to town of hurricane
that's not
season.
Good.
Just go to Home
it's time
Depot.
Time to go somewhere.
Just go to Home Depot and get the boards. You know what I mean? So we would say that about Kelly. We thank her for checking in with us from her game tonight, as well as Jeff Sittell checking in with us as well. We got one more checking in with us. Let's catch him before we have to go tonight. Charlie Former from Cass. Charlie, good evening, man. How's everything?
Hey, well, it wasn't the outcome that we wanted, Sam, but I mean, We faced a great North Cobb team tonight that basically in the trenches, they were in our backfield all night, and their offensive linemen making holes and pushing the plays. They hit us in the mouth. Start from the get-go, the opening kickoff, we fumbled it, and then they just punched it in. But they have that running back, the freshman, I think his name is Zach Ballou or something. That kid is for real. He ran hard. You weren't going to just come up and arm tackle him. He was running through that, kept his feet moving, and then that senior quarterback, Nick Grimstead, that kid. I mean, he's the real deal. That whole team is well coached, and I mean, yeah, they had a lot of penalties tonight, but I mean, they North Cobb came in ready to play.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Charlie. I watched a little bit of the game on GPB, and you knew being a bigger school, North Cobb being such a big school versus Cass, they were going to be a little bit more deep up front. You know, that's where you see the differences in the classification. So O-line, D-line was going to be really good. You knew you had to control the game to win. Well, you know, opening kickoff, we fumbled the opening kickoff, they scored next play. You know, it kind of changes the entire game, right?
It does. And I mean, you know, that's why I like the fact that Gates has brought in a competition like this North Cobb. I mean, it lets you know that when you you've got to play your game, you've got to win the trenches, you've got to do the little things. And that's something that we, you know, it took us a while. We had a bright spot. Ian Williams was able to intercept a ball and return it for the touchdown, the pick six. And that was a big thing. You know, he's played great all year, but, I mean, it's the little things whenever we have a backup lineman having to fill in for Judd Hyde, who was injured last week against Adairsville, and, you know, a sophomore getting his first start, and that don't help things either.
But you guys got Hiram coming up next. They lost to East Paulding tonight, and so you guys got that game coming up as you head towards your region, right?
Yes, sir. We start the region next week at home against Hiram. I know Coach Gates and all the coaches will have these guys. And this was a wake-up call for the Colonels. I mean, I know he scheduled this tough North Cobb team, but, I mean, next week starts the region, and that's when it really starts. And I think that this was eye-opening for our Colonels, and we can get things right going next week at home.
All right. We'll be looking for that, and we appreciate you checking in with us tonight.
Man, I appreciate y'all. And then next week, I'll call, check back in next week. But if there's anything we can do, we're here for you guys.
All right. That's Charlie Farmer up there with the Cass Network, keeping an eye on the Colonels and what they're doing. Let's see if they bounce back next week against Hiram.
Yeah, I mean, North Cobb's not going to meet them in the playoffs. That's what I mean, two different classifications. It's a good measuring stick. It's really important to play tough teams and see where you stand up. Everybody says that until, it doesn't go your way, and then but sometimes it not going your way is good for your team. Like Charlie said, you get in there and you regroup and you say, we're not as good as we thought we were at some things. We're going to clean some things up. We're going to get better for next week. So we'll see. Remember, the key for being good in high school football is consistency. So can you bring energy next week, the next? And that's where we are.
And then there's some people who say, who made this schedule? who scheduled this game?
I mean, I've been guilty of saying that several times on here. And for anybody that doesn't know, in high school, the head coach makes a schedule. So we're very much criticizing the guy we're talking to when we say, who made this schedule? jokingly, of course, tongue-in-cheek.
It would do that. All games, I think most of the games have gone final, all of them. I don't know if we had the scores that we didn't get a chance to get to from around the Metro Atlanta area. We've been sharing most of them with you for most of the evening. North Clayton's a winner over Riverdale, 28-20, final in that one. The score from down in Clayton County. Douglas was a winner over Columbia, 46-21. Atlanta Public Schools. That's a couple other APS games that went on tonight. I know there was one or two more that I didn't get a chance to give them. I think Maynard Jackson was a winner tonight.
Yeah, Maynard Jackson won. I didn't see who they were playing, but I know they won. I'll find them in a minute, Sam. But North Paulding is beat South Paulding 39-14.
Okay.
In the Paulding battle. Peachtree Ridge 41, Mountain View 7. Peachtree Ridge with a nice win tonight. Centennial 34-0, winners over Discovery.
Wow. Centennial, the Knights getting a victory there tonight. Lanier Christian beat St. Francis 14-7, final in that one. Tryon over Model. Tryon is undefeated at 4-0 with a 22-12. Win in that one.
Yeah, Tryon's got a good team, Sam. I did find Maynard Jackson 33-7 winners over Redan. Stay undefeated on the year. Coach Williams Jackson, always good, under the radar.
Yep.
People don't really pay much attention to him, but always do a great job. Big win tonight for Ola down in Henry County. Ola 7-3 winners over Jones County. Jones County has been a team that's been a thorn in the Henry County people's side.
Yeah, right.
They've been in that same region, always usually winning those games. So tonight, Ola with the 7-3 game. You seen a little more of these low scoring affairs?
Yep. What's that?
And defense is kind of making a comeback.
How about that? When you hear about these days when everything is offense, right?
Yeah, defense is making a comeback.
Yeah, that's what it seems like in some of the games. That's good to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good to see. Fantastic. But we hope you've been with us tonight. We started out our show really with reflecting on the events of this week over at Appalachian High School and the tragedy of where four lives were lost and so many were injured. Of course, it's gotten national and international attention, but we were able to have Ralph Neely, the athletic director and assistant principal, come on and join us and really, express his gratitude for all the support that they have received, but also tell us ways that we can show support for the young people in the school there through the Barrow Community Crisis Fund. The Barrow Community Crisis Fund is there to make contributions to help those who are in need from this time or around the school, be it some of the students or faculty members or whatever. That's the source that he recommended for us. There's some GoFundMes that have been set up for the families of those who lost their lives. I think each one of those have individual that's happening. He mentioned the fact, something that we thought was really incredible, is that the students have led the student athletic leadership teams have been leading the things they want to do. And one of the things they want to have is Sunday, have all the students and faculty come back to their stadium Sunday mm-hmm. evening at 8 o'clock there at Appalachian High School. So it was great that really appreciate him and thank him once again for coming on the Scoreboard Show and sharing with us and letting us know what people can do to help right now, because there's no playbook for this.
Right. And everybody wants to help and nobody knows how to help. So Barrel Crisis Community Fund.
Crisis Community Fund. Community
Crisis. They can Google
Fund.
That. Mm-hmm. And also, let me just stop and say thank you to Ralph for coming on.
Yeah.
Because that's a hard thing to do. You know, he didn't have to come on with us. So appreciate him taking the opportunity to do that. And whatever little tiny part we can do to help heal, of course, that's what we want to do. Also in the Bremen community with Carson.
Yeah,
our man Carson still going through.
Had a recovery. Second surgery today.
And so, same thing. Anything we can do, whatever little part mm-hmm. our show can do to help, we want to do that. But sometimes just to keep those things alive, and you know, with the issue at Appalachia, and maybe with Carson too, it's really not even about always supporting them today. It's about the support that they would need for days and weeks and months and maybe even years.
Right.
When you have that kind of tragedy. So hopefully people can maintain that and they can really rally behind them for the long haul.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So no activity in Barrow County tonight. So that did not include Appalachia not playing, but also Wynder Barrow did not play their game tonight against Seckinger. And just, I guess, till further notice.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll hear more about that maybe moving forward. But, I mean, it just wasn't a priority this week, right?
And
real quickly, you can learn that your sports team is not that big. Nobody gets more excited to watch a game and get fired up than me and you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fun. You can learn real quick that that's not the priority.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah. That's what we found out this week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's been gratifying to see people show their support, seeing the decals on the back of the helmets all through social media. People have put the A on the back of the helmet. Some have plastered on their scoreboards at their games. I think Jefferson has the A on their field for tonight's game, and saw several teams all gathered together for prayer. Pre-game prayer. We saw that with Stockbridge and Eagles Landing before their game tonight. So I think from one end of the state to the other, and maybe across the country, we saw and heard people pause for just a minute and reflect on what happened this week, and something to show support. We all show in unison support for the young people there.
And sports can do that. You know, in a time and world where many things divide,
mm-hmm.
Sports can bring together.
Yeah.
And even in these tragedies, you know, it's good to see the sports and your local high school ball team being something that can bring some people together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you echoed also the fact of, and he talked about the Georgia Athletic Directors Association, which you've been a part of, and how they really support and love on it. And I think one thing that Ralph Neely says is, you know, for 10 months out of the year, we try to find ways to top each other, one-up each other, beat each other. But when something like this happens,
right, you're going to come together. I mean, there is a brotherhood, like most professions.
Mm-hmm.
You have professional organizations. You know these people. You represent your team. They represent theirs. But you know them.
Mm-hmm.
And, when something tragic happens and they're hurting, you are too.
Yeah.
And that's true for coaches. You know, it's true for athletic directors. It's true for broadcasters. I mean, it's true. You know, there is a brotherhood among folks that have a similar job. And the people that are coaches, the people that are athletic directors, also got that heart for children. They're going to be put in those spots like they were this week. And so, I'm not surprised they're getting the support they're getting, but devastated they're having to get it.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So once again, that is the Barrow Community Crisis Fund. Barrow Community Crisis Fund. You can look it up and see what they are allowing and what you're able to do if you want to have a gesture toward the young people there at Appalachia. What a week this has been. Week has gone. This is 4 weeks into the season.
Four weeks.
It's moving quickly.
It's going quick.
We're just
getting started.
We just had Labor Day and we're 4 weeks in.
Look, I didn't start yawning until about 11:30, so I'm catching up. About another couple weeks from now, I'll be full golden midnight. But it's sitting there, Sam. And, you know, the season, you know, you think about it, the season's only 10 weeks for a lot of the teams, right? About half the teams aren't going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So for half the teams, they conceivably could have already played 40% of their games, right?
Wow.
I mean, you know, it gets there quick. You build it up all year. You get excited about football all year, and then it kind of happens, and it's here before you know it. So, NFL starting now.
Yep.
We got an NFL game on Friday. Don't get me started on that. I'm not even justifying that with giving out a score.
Ouch. We actually got a Monday game. This game only is tomorrow. Holy Innocence game.
We got a Monday high school game.
We're
trying to get them back.
I guess.
We compete with that Monday night football. Let's see who wins.
Well, looking to the next week, though, we do have some matchups to watch out for. Coming, we got some games at Stone Mountain, Miller Grove. That's the Thursday night games. But on Friday night, you know, so the matchups, some games to watch. Milton is playing Blessed Trinity. We'll see where that one's going to be. We'll keep an eye on that.
Blessed Trinity's good this year.
Yep. Calhoun's at Cambridge next week. Gainesville and Carrollton next week. That's
the game. That's the game
right there. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Centennial, Chattahoochee, almost like a neighborhood kind of rivalry there. We watch out for that one. Those are some of the games. Down in South Georgia, Lee County and Colquitt County. Yeah.
Be some hit.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, they will. Yeah, well, that is what's coming up next week. And, of course, we hope that you will be with us. Damian Day-Day Lewis out there working tonight. And our first Cub reporter, Selah Thomas, covering the game out at Westlake tonight. We thank you for her. Dom Chorosky, great stuff. Other side of the glass, as always. So, until next week, and Sam Crenshaw along with Chris Parker, thanking you for tuning in for the Scoreboard Show. I'm here Sunday morning from 6 to 9 with Greg Clarkson, and I'll see you then. Be sure and join us next week, 7 to midnight, for the Scoreboard Show, your high school scoreboard show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.